The Greater Salt Lake Municipal Services District Board of Trustee meeting February 26, 2026 at 6 o'clock p.m.
Thank you very much, Marla. My name is Keith Sussman. I'd like to call this meeting to order, the February 25th, 2026 Greater Salt Lake Municipal Services District meeting. If you would join me with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
As we currently do not have a quorum, I don't believe so. So we can drop down to number five and number six for the presentation of the Unified Fire Authority Municipal Emergency Planners.
I'll start off and I'll do an introductory.
No. I'll
do that. Good evening, the Board of Trustees. Just by way of background, the MSC has a contract with Unified Fire Authority for two municipal emergency management planners. Purpose of these EM planners is to support the MSD and the member cities and towns with their emergency management plans and training, and also provide direct training support to your designated emergency managers, whoever your councils are designated as, your city or town EMs. I just want to mention that these planners also can assist your designated emergency managers fulfill the requirements set forth in section 53 2A 1402 of the state code, which lists specific obligations or duties of the EMs. But I first wanted to have Brian and Madison introduce themselves to you so that you could start making those connections. Some of them have already been to your city and town council meetings, but we also wanted to present them here. So with that, Brian and Madison, I'll turn the time over to you.
Thank you, Brian. Yes, as Brian has mentioned, Brian Buckout. So my previous background was 6 years, almost 7 years at Cal OES, California Governor's Office of Emergency Services, doing response, working with Response Division in Coastal Region. And then previous to that, I also worked federally as a first responder as well, and responded to large national disasters from hurricanes and earthquakes and whatnot. So I know that I've met some of you and some of your new faces, and obviously congratulations for your new role. I know you guys are very swamped, just refilling in those shoes. But as time comes, we would like to get some more face time to really get some chances to do some orientation on our operational footprint and some training coming up, some opportunities that you can kind of see what capabilities that we're building out, some current projects that we're working on. We'll go into that a little bit today, and then also just putting the rest of this previous project we worked on for 1 year, and some of you already may have heard about it or have done some homework on the hazard mitigation plan. I was leaving with Madison.
I'm Madison Warner. I have a background as a firefighter EMT for Unified Fire Authority and Reaver Fire District. I also worked for Utah Task Force 1, one of the federal urban search and rescue groups, and then I've done quite a bit of private industry emergency management, consulting, planning for small businesses and the like. And Brian kind of covered the rest, so thank you.
Maybe
mention
which
community
is your site.
Oh, yes. So I cover Magna, Kearns, and Crawfordton.
I cover Wrightson, Wayne City, and Immigration. I also do some part time also with Midvale.
Thank you very much. Any questions for the two of them from just the introductory standpoint? Okay, thank you.
Continue.
Just a couple, two or three slides.
as this is loading, just wanted to provide context that we have proposed this multi-jurisdictional hazard mitigation plan prior. It was adopted. We're just had some updates, just went through state review, federal review, and with that there were some additional updates. So out of a little formality and technicality, we've come back just to express those minor updates in the annexes, and this is why we'll come back to you again, which means it'll be a much shorter presentation as we have already presented this prior.
Actually have the slides in our.
Oh,
this is true.
Yeah, I will share this. Okay. Yeah.
Works too.
We'll get the editor view, unfortunately. Okay, so just a really brief recap, since Brian kind of already introduced what the hazard mitigation plan is itself. So this is a two-volume countywide plan. It goes into great detail on vulnerabilities, capabilities, and different things that the whole county as well as individual jurisdictions face. Hopefully you guys have received this, and it's a very large document, so it may take some time to get through, if not. In addition, this plan also sets goals for each jurisdiction and the county as a whole. As we know, hazards and incidents don't stop at jurisdictional boundaries. So this plan kind of ties everyone together in sharing of resources because we share risks as well. So when we came before, the plan was finalized on our end of things, but still have to go through FEMA review. They did encourage us to go out and start the adoption process before they had finalized things. Unknowingly, we did leave out some flexible language in the actual adoption resolution itself that would permit any changes that FEMA made to the plan without having to come back out and have you adopt every single change that they made. So now that the plan is finalized, we're here so that you, if you would like, can readopt it. There's just a very brief summary here of what changed in the plan. There were a few vulnerability asset details that needed to be changed to reflect some risks. A few of the mitigation actions were updated with more details and clarified. And on a few of the mitigation tasks, a lead agency was clarified instead of just putting a bunch of random agencies and jurisdictions. It kind of clarified who's doing what. We can provide within the new document kind of a highlighted what is new, what has changed from the original one, if it's not clear from what you guys have already received as far as the document.
I'm just curious, on the lead agencies, do you have a list of what changed on those?
So there were several different sections and jurisdictions where the lead agency changed. So like I said, we could go over it in a little bit more detail.
You can just give it to me after. If you
sure. Know. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Thank you.
So unless you have any questions, we're here just for the proposed readoption of the plan with FEMA's suggested changes. The other jurisdictions, we have either been out already or will be out for the same thing, since each jurisdiction has its own annex as well.
Does anybody have any other questions for this action?
I'll move we reapprove
Resolution 2026-0201. I have a motion.
Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
Thank you, Sean.
Thank you, Warren. You haven't already seen Brian and Madison in your respective council meetings for this topic. They will be coming in the near future.
We can see Brian a lot. All right, since we have a quorum, let me back up. Do we have any public comments submitted for the meeting tonight? Is there anyone in the audience who would like to make a public comment? Is there anyone online who would like to make a public comment? Hearing none, seeing none. Moving to item four, approve the February 11th, 2026 board meeting minutes.
So moved.
Sir, I have a motion.
Second.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion carries. All right, moving on to number seven, Cameron. Tell us all about this money.
Or
the contract.
Okay, this is a $4 million grant in Magna. UDOT is the administrator. As part of the UDOT process, they require a construction emergency management consultant. So this has been through the UDOT process, and that's how CONSOR was selected. They will be used for doing inspections, middle review, and things like that during construction. UDOT did review the construction amount, the contract amount, and they have found it to be within reasonable limits based on the size of the project. It is fully funded through the grant, but as the MSD is a signatory and it's above $100,000, it has to come to you to approve.
Mr. Chair, I'll move we approve the management contract.
All right, we have a motion to approve the construction engineering management contract with CONSOR Engineering not to exceed $335,555.98.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Mr. Snyder.
It should be a staff report. This is seeking approval for the selection of Monday.com software primarily for the capital projects use case. And the Monday.com is a platform for WorkOS, so it's a workflow platform. And the primary use case, which is capital projects, is under Stuart. Stuart, do you want to give him an overview of that piece? And I'll take it back over and talk about pricing.
So with the Mondays.com, this is going to help us with the capital budgeting with our engineering capital projects. When we're budgeting with multiple jurisdictions, multiple funding sources across multiple years, spreadsheets sometimes just don't hold the level of information. So this is something that would really help with that process. We had looked at a different vendor that was a lot more expensive, and I think Mark will go into that. So we've been at this for quite some time.
Yeah, so the previous vendor that was approved was OpenGov, and it was approved for like $150,000. That contract couldn't be finalized, so we looked for a backup plan, and Monday.com is the backup plan. And to prove this software, we've done on a trial basis, a number of proof of concepts. And those proof of concepts included the IT budgeting for this year, IT service and ticket and tracking, a survey, and then training and travel tracking to make sure it would accomplish the use case that we need. The cost, this is under state contract. The cost for the first year, we're anticipating to have 20 licenses. And those 20 licenses would be $12,626. And then over the subsequent couple years, we would see it moving to 80 licenses, and it would be $50,506 each of those years. There's a one-time implementation services of $10,623. That dollars is dedicated to Stuart's primary use case. And this amount, like I said, is well under what was previously budgeted, so there's no change to the budget or any amendments need to be made for that. Secondary, I have used this product in the past at US Ski, and it was quite successful. So with that, we would like to get the approval to purchase the software and move forward with Stewart's use case, and then also roll this out to other departments that have workflow needs and portfolio management as well.
Mr. Chair, I'll move we approve the contract with Monday.com.
I have a motion to approve the Monday contract.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Mr. Anderson.
Yes, sir.
You're up.
Thank you. For a couple of reasons, this one is going to be much shorter than my legislative report of last month. One reason being that the left side of my face feels like it's about out here. And then Donna's did root canals this afternoon on two teeth, so I don't really feel like speaking a lot.
So you didn't get slapped really hard on that side?
If I get slapped, I hope it's on that side. I mean, I suspect that most of us have been through what I'm talking about. A few might not have gotten to that stage yet. We only have a week and a half of the legislative session to go, which is a bit of a blessing for those who are in the trenches. There has been a lot of work, a lot of heavy lifting by a lot of people. The Utah League of Cities and Towns has been particularly active this year. Of course, the Utah Association of Special Districts has been as well. And the association and the league have been working in concert on a number of bills. In fact, there was a meeting this morning that was a rather unusual one in that the sponsor of the bill, Representative Peterson, it's a truth in taxation bill, was there and really led the discussion. And there were also several representatives of the league. There were two representatives of the Utah Association of Special Districts, of which I was one, and the Utah Taxpayers Association was there in the room, and everybody was working toward a common goal. And frankly, it felt really good. This bill, I think, has a very good chance of passage. Senator McKay is, Karen Peterson is the sponsor in the House, the main sponsor. Senator McKay is the sponsor in the Senate. I'm hoping it stays in its current form. It deals with fiscal year budgetary entities and what your municipalities are, the county is not. And the MSD operates on a July 1 to June 30 fiscal year. And this particular bill includes some requirements that are already applicable to calendar year, essentially applicable to calendar year budgeting for truth in taxation. But the original bill, you know, was almost an impossibility in some respects to do what was being required. And I think what has been hammered out here, if it stays the way it was more or less agreed to today, is a very good bill. The legislature, there's no question they were going to pass some truth in taxation legislation. This is the best bill on that subject that I have seen. There are also other bills that would impose some real hurdles and burdens on property tax increases and fee increases. I'm not going to guarantee that they're not going to pass, but it's looking promising that the most extreme of the bills won't pass. The bills that the MSD's been particularly interested in, House Bill 215, which is the landscape restrictions bill that was very much favored by fire districts throughout the state, is in enrolling, meaning it's already passed. House Bill 325, the government records classification bill, is the third substitute, is on the second reading calendar of the Senate, which means it's passed in the House and moved over to the Senate, and it looks like it has a good chance of passing. House Bill 415, Building Code Amendments, which Trent has had an interest in. You'll be interested to know that it's still in the House Rules Committee. Has not moved an inch, and this late in the session, you know, I won't guarantee that it won't come out, but this late in the session, I think it is likely to stay in the Rules Committee. House Bill 427, that's the Tax Increment Financing Bill. It is also in the House Rules Committee. House Bill 429, the first substitute has been adopted. This is Harriman's withdrawal from the Wasatch Front Waste and Recycling District bill. It is on the Senate second reading calendar, which means it's passed the House. It is most likely going to pass the Senate, but representatives of Wolfward and Harriman have been talking almost on a daily basis and have been attempting to, I don't want to call it a divorce, but to work out an amicable withdrawal of Harriman City from the Wasatch Front Waste and Recycling District, and that's most likely what's going to happen. House Bill 470, that's Building Improvement or Building Inspection Amendments, it failed in House Committee, which means it is dead. And I thought that would please Trent. The Senate Bill 228, the first substitute has been adopted. This is the Community Reinvestment Agency bill. It is in House Committee, meaning it is passed in the Senate and has gone over to the House for further consideration. I think there's a pretty good chance that it will pass. And House Bill 239, Local Land Use Amendments, that is also stuck in House Rules. And those are all the bills that that management asked me to specifically report on. I would be happy, however, to address any of your questions.
Does anybody have any questions for Mark?
I'm curious on the, was it 415, the divorce? Is the divorce going to be in code, or is it going to be something they just work out separately?
Yes and yes. I think the bill's going to pass, and the bill includes a procedure that would enable Harriman to more or less ram it through if it, you know, really had the will to do that. But there's also a procedure that calls for the parties to amicably agree on a withdrawal, and I think that's what's going to happen. If it is the full-blown procedure, there'll have to be a financial analysis and a study and other things that I don't think Harriman really wants to do because of the cost. And, you know, I've got to be careful. I have not been in the room where it happens on this one. Rachel Anderson has been, and I've been copied on the emails. I've got a stack of emails keeping me apprised, or keeping the association apprised of the status. And the impression I get secondhand is that the bill is most likely going to pass, and the parties are most likely going to work something out over the upcoming months. And frankly, I hope I'm right, but we'll find out.
The reason I ask is how this gets taken care of could be a precursor to how other things move forward.
The bill is limited to garbage collection districts. It started out being broader than that.
And that's my point, that I think this might become the example.
It is possible, yes.
Okay.
And Frank, well, I probably shouldn't do my opinion here.
But Mark, I can comment on that. Since I've been in all those meetings, so is that.
Okay.
Yes, that's true.
In fact, I've been in a couple that you were in as well.
That's true. The bill, is as it was originally designed, was a straight, I just say, hey, goodbye. But then it, as you read down through it, the key issues there were the feasibility study, and then also that if the parties could come to an agreement on what particular assets would be, and that that the separation then could be very simple, is that resolution is passed on both parties, they pick a date where service stops by Wasatch Front Waste, and their new contracted provider starts service. So, and that's is where we were at least as of 12:30 this afternoon. So we'll wait and see, and if there are any other minor amendments that might go through. So that if it does, then it'll go to concurrence. I'm sure they'll be able to hash those things out before the final bill is presented. If there's no other questions for Mark, we'll move on to item 10, General Manager Report.
I sent out an email today calling you to see if you're interested in participating in a class taught by Jay Barney, a professor from the University of Utah, who teaches strategic management. The subject matter would be organizational strategy. Jay is known around the world for his work in this area. I'll give you more information later when Jay gets back with the date and time and location. If we get, I'm going to invite all the mayors, your councils, and members from the MSD. If we get a large turnout, then we'll hold it up at the trust. They have a large room that they use for other teaching arrangements. Anyway, it'll be the perfect place for this. Just a reminder that you get your budgets to Stuart by March the 31st. He will be presenting compiled city-town admin budgets to this board at the April 8th meeting. Also at the time, he will be presenting the proposed budget for the general fund for tentative adoption on April 22nd, 2026, and final adoption on May 13th. Okay? Any questions? All right. Last one, I'm going to have Alex clarify if you have any questions. Representatives from PDS and engineering will begin regular ordinance coordination committee meetings starting tomorrow. The committee's general goal is to review existing codes, draft and revise modifications, make recommendations to municipal authorities, and implement the ordinance changes. These will be monthly meetings initially between planning and engineering, and will be expanded to include some county agencies we work with, such as the health department. Ordinance review can be an iterative, non-linear process at times. Once we've made progress, we'll begin working closely with your respective planning commissions and city councils of each jurisdiction. Any questions that Alex can answer or Liesl?
Seeing none?
That is it.
Thank you very much. All right. Is there any other city, town, unincorporated county, or Greater Salt Lake municipal service business to discuss? Is there any future items that we need to address at this point for the next agenda or next or future agendas? Seeing none, there's no need for 13, 14, 15, or 16, so I just would ask for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
A motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much for everybody turning out today.
The meeting was adjourned at 6:30 p.m.